Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
I'm going to devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
The Bob Seska Show.
Happy Halloween.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, October 28, 2021. Happy Halloween. The most anticlimactic holiday in the entire calendar. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 282 of the Biden-Harris administration. 377 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at the Bob Seska. Go and follow me right now. There's a picture of me at age one. In a spaghetti coma, where I've eaten copious amounts of spaghetti and fallen asleep in my high chair. So go and look at my Instagram, TheBobSeska. Also on Twitter at BobSeska underscore go. The worst Twitter handle in the world. Okay, let's bring in the Goth Ninjas. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also patreon.com/from the bunker. We're going to talk about Jody here in a second. Awesome Facebook picture, Jody. And of course, David T. Rex Ferguson from Astral Summer. That's his band, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Support his music, and we've got lots of great music coming up later on the show. Okay, now that we're done with this music, let's do this. All right. Yeah, Jody, I love your Lily Munster costume on Facebook. Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, the car totally makes it.
Well, that's Lonnie's tea bucket, so.
Oh, my God. It's perfect. You guys should be in, like, a Halloween parade. You as Lily Munster in that car.
Oh, no, it was because I was,
not
like,
riding in that thing.
Oh, hell no. But what's I have ridden in it once, but and that's it. He only gets one. Yeah. I told him, I said, are you going to dress as Eddie or Herman? Because I can't drive this alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be awesome. Oh my God, Lonnie dressed up as Herman Munster. So
no,
maybe
he could do an Eddie really well.
Yeah, yeah, Eddie.
I can do much more as an Eddie Munster.
Yeah, totally.
What was funny when we were taking the pictures yesterday up front, mm-hmm. this guy who walks his dog.
Yeah.
I'm like, I did to the sun, you know, because she's a vampire.
Oh, you went and, like you're
right. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah. Can I take your picture? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And you'll have to forgive me if I spent more than half of my time looking at the picture, you know, looking at the car. I mean, seriously. It's, you know what? It got me to thinking, too. There are Addams Family movies coming out. I mean, live action. There's an Addams Family movie coming out. It's live action. And
please tell
me
Oscar Isaac is playing Gomez.
Well, please. There's a...
Oh, please. Would he be perfect? Oh, my God.
I don't know. But there's also a Munsters movie uh-huh. coming out.
Isn't
but,
that Rob Zombie, though?
Yeah, that's what's weird about it. That Tim Burton is doing the Addams Family, but Rob Zombie is doing the Munsters. You'd think it would be the opposite. Like,
no,
it seems more like the Munsters
really.
Is like a Tim Burton universe, where Rob Zombie is more of the weird Addams Family. Like, you could really do more shit as Rob Zombie with the Addams Family than you could do with the Munsters. The Munsters still seemed a little bit... It seemed like the Munsters could exist in the Batman 1966 TV show or
they
like
did.
In the Monkees. Oh, did they? Were they?
Well, they were in the 60s. No, they never crossed over except yeah. maybe on Scooby-Doo. But
right.
No, they were all on at the same time. I mean, I remember seeing the Munsters in color.
Well, what I'm saying is the Munsters feels more campy, which it seems more like a Tim Burton thing. But it's the opposite. Rob
what could
Zombie.
Be more campy than Gomez kissing up Morticia's arm and marking his place with a piece of graveyard talk.
That's also true.
Yeah. The Addams Family I always found was more edgy. I don't know
they
why
were.
That is. And the Munsters more silly. So it's they, just,
it was like, to me, it's like the Munsters were Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And Addams Family was the Electric Company.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly
right.
A huge
portion of our audience has no idea why you're talking about public utilities. What electric company?
Yeah.
The
Electric Company.
You doing anything this weekend, David? Are you dressing up as anything?
I am thinking about borrowing my friend's priest shirt. I have a black suit to wear it with. But when I dress up as a priest, it's a little scary. Like,
well,
people all
is.
Day are like, they don't know what, they're, if they're like, bless you, Father. I'm like, bless you, my child. And they totally swallow it every time.
Do you do a sexy priest? Is that what you do? Or do you do just a...
Aside from my organic, natural sexiness?
Yes, of course.
No. Yeah. No, I don't need to add to that. It would be dangerous. It'd be right. Too much sexy.
Yeah, yeah. You're way too sexy for this priest, right? That's the That's the jingle.
I have to go home by 11 p.m., though, because people start to get drunk and they start climbing in your lap and wanting to confess.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? You don't have to. Why would you want to go? Why would you want to leave that? Don't you
because
want
I'm
people
married?
On your lap? Well, that's also true. So, yeah, never mind. never mind. Okay, yeah, and I'm not dressing up as a goddamn thing. We have no trick-or-treaters here. Now, this is why I said Halloween, at least for some of us, is really super anticlimactic. It's just like a whole month of Halloween things and dress them up and horror movies and orange and black and the decorations. And then it gets to Halloween night and you're like...
And you end up sitting at home and eating 16 Reese's Cups out of a salad bowl.
Yes,
the doorbell
right.
to ring.
Yes, it's
here's your costume, Bob. Just draw the state of Alaska on your T-shirt with Sharpie. Write Alaska under it. And if anyone asks you what you are, you go, baked Alaska, dude.
My parents, when I was maybe three or four years old, we had this lovely home. Mm-hmm. And so it was my mom, Lyle Wagoner, and his wife.
Yeah.
Harvey Korman and his wife. Mm. My dad and Harvey and Lyle were all dressed as Draculas.
Oh, my God.
And my mom and Donna and I forget Lyle's wife's name. Forgive me, Mr. Wagoner. Mrs. Wagoner.
Mrs.
They,
Wagoner.
Yeah, they all dressed as kind of vampires. And it helps that you have Bob Mackie and wigs and makeup artists to help you with those things. And so they had all these decorations, and we had this long walkway to our front door mm-hmm. that we never used. We always used our back door, but, you know, like when they had, you know, company, they used the front door.
Sure.
And so Lyle literally was fake hanging in a tree.
Lyle Wagoner, fucking Steve Trevor from Wonder Woman.
Steven Trevor, right. And so he's fake hanging in this tree. They you know, did a harness for him so that he would be held properly. Uh-huh. And so he looked like he was dead, and they would only let two kids in at a time.
Right.
There was a line down the block because they're like, this house is insane, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so
a bunch of TV stars in here too.
Well, they didn't know that. Yeah. These were little kids. They couldn't watch mom's show. These were like 5-6 year old children, right?
Yeah.
Her show was on late. And so they would only let two kids in a time. And if they were super young, they would let a parent come with them.
Because
they, you know. But literally they'd walk by the tree and they'd see this what they thought was a dummy. And
this
then he'd
giant
go
man.
And he'd right? And so then they would open, they had like dry ice, so it looked foggy.
Mm-hmm.
And they decorated the front entryway of our house to look really scary. And so mom and Donna were at the front door, come in, you know, and they were just very that. And they had to walk all the way to the end of the entry, which was big. It was a big room.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way to the end to get candy that either mom or Donna or my dad or somebody, I think dad and Harvey might have been at the door, come in, you know.
So
and
wild.
It became the place to go that Halloween because it was like, you gotta go to that house, you know.
Oh, man.
You know that meme of Jeremy Renner with his head on his hands and he's doing that sort of impish
PewDiePie
grin?
Look.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly me every time you tell these stories, Jody. Because I grew up with all of these actors that you're talking about, between your mom and Harvey Korman and Lyle Wagner.
Seriously.
When I was 6 years old, I knew by name the entire cast of your mom's show. I loved that show. That
so was, did I. That's so weird.
Yeah, I wonder
Twinsies,
why.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. I remember my dad watching Harvey Korman in the dentist sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
poor
yeah.
Harvey.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor Harvey.
Classic.
And that was the first time I think I'd ever seen a grown up like laughing so hard they couldn't stop. The tears were streaming down their faces and their stomach hurt. Like, and he just couldn't. He got the church giggles, and I was just like, "Dad, are you okay? Why are you crying?" And
you know, what's funny is the woman who eventually was she was a script supervisor initially, and then she got promoted through the years. She worked for my dad on Gary Moore. Mm-hmm. Then she worked for the Smothers Brothers and then got hired to do my mom's show. And it was right when Conway was becoming a super guest star.
Right.
Like, he was a guest star until season 9. Mm-hmm. And then he became a regular.
Yeah.
But so when they were rehearsing the dentist sketch as it was written, mm-hmm. nobody thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Nobody did.
I can imagine.
Rehearsals, they were like, this is not funny, you know? And Maggie thought they were going to cut the sketch.
Yeah.
And then they shot it to the page, and then Tim spoke with Dave Powers, the director, and the TD director as well, and mm-hmm. said, this is what I'm going to do, right? So then they did that, and then, you know, history was made.
Yeah.
But what's funny is when Maggie got promoted, my dad, he goes, okay, now that you've been promoted and that schmuck is going to be on all the time, here's an extra $100 a week in pay.
I love it. Yeah, I did a sketch show on VH1 for a couple of years, and one of the most difficult things to do in sketch comedy is to write a script that is almost entirely visual. It's,
yes.
And the reason is, I guess I should take that back. Writing it is fine. Getting it approved, getting it out of the writer's room, getting it out, getting it beyond the read-through, that was the challenge. Because on the page, it doesn't read as hilarious. You have to use your head. You have to use your imagination to imagine the visual aspect of that. And with an animated sketch show, that added a whole
Even
other layer
worse,
of visual to the idea, to the concept of the sketch.
Well, the thing is with the Dennis sketch, all the stuff that he did to make Harvey laugh was not on the page.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That was never written. Tim did it. Mm-hmm. On purpose to fuck with Harvey and also make it a funnier sketch.
All right. Well, let's see. You know what? Here's what I want to talk about right here at the top of the show. Speaking of Halloween and dress him up and things like that. Did you see the Mitt Romney, Kyrsten Sinema bastardization of Ted Lasso on social
media? No!
Mitt Romney dressed up like Ted Lasso.
Oh, no.
And he did like a gif of him coming out of his office, like slapping the Believe sign above his office door. And he's got the mustache and everything. And then there's another, it's either a gif or a photograph of Mitt Romney giving biscuits to Kyrsten Sinema, who's
I'm looking at it right now.
Dressed up like Hannah Waddingham from the show. And it's like, God damn it. Would you go ahead and bastardize the show, please? Completely misinterpret what the show is all about so you can do a meaningless dress them up. These two have nothing to do with what these characters are all about and what the meaning of the show is. And so it's just dragging it down and trivializing it. You know what I mean? Ted Lasso is about empathy. It's about hope. It's about optimism. And, you know, Mitt Romney earned his millions and millions of dollars by buying up companies and tearing them down and firing all of the employees.
Because greed is good.
Yes, exactly right. So not even close.
And he's a freaking Mormon, which is like incredibly like the most judgmental cult.
Is it really? Are they judgmental Mormons? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
No caffeine, no gays.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really it's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And damaging.
Right.
Go ahead.
So, of course, this is one of the dumber stories of the day, but one of the best stories of the week continues to be Donald Trump's new media company. We talked about this last week. Remember last week on this show, on this very show, on last Thursday's podcast, I said, everyone go and short this stock. DWAC, which is the shell company that Trump merged with. to go public with his new media platform. With his new
when
media.
I heard about the stocks, I thought of you.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know
what happened?
You know what happened on Monday? The stock dropped by 11%. Yeah. 11% is unheard. Usually you see stocks declining by, you know, it's a bloodbath if it goes down by 3%, right?
Right. Yeah.
This stock dropped by 11% on Monday. But wait, there's more. On Tuesday, the stock dropped in price by 30%.
And Marjorie Three Toes invested $50,000.
There you go. Marjorie Three Toes last week invested, we should be clear about this, upwards of $50,000. Because in the financial disclosure that she released, it says it's somewhere between $15,000 and $50,000. So somewhere in that range, but at the minimum $15,000, at the most $50,000. And right after that, the stock price drops 41%. 41%. Let me say that one more time. 41% in just 2 goddamn days. Unbelievable.
That's nearly half its value. But I mean, who had bought? I mean, I don't know. I this all confuses me. Like, who actually invests in a Trump idea?
Yeah, I know.
At this point.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a fucking idiot.
I know. Has there not been enough precedent? I mean, from Trump stakes all the way through the Trump presidency, the Trump Foundation was entirely shut down. They're no longer allowed to even start up a new one. That's how terrible the Trump Foundation was. Eric Trump used it as his own slush fund, for God's sake. You want to?
My name's Eric.
Why on earth would anyone want to invest in a Donald Trump business? Which is like a no-brainer, meaning what we ought to do, what everyone should be doing with this, if they're going to invest anything, they invest in shorting this stock. And it's bound. I mean, certainly there's a chance that the stock price could go up. You know, who knows? It's the stock market. It's completely inexplicable. But the chances are, given Donald Trump's track record, that this stock price is going to continue to crash and burn. And what we already know is the first thing that it launched, this TMTG corporation that Donald Trump started, the very first thing that it launched was Truth Social. And of course, it launched with people hacking it, with people hacking into Donald Trump's own account, people registering the name Mike Pence. And then they have a licensing problem on top of that. They built the platform on this open source software called Mastodon. And that means the licensing agreement means that they have to make the source code for Truth Social public. I don't know if I'm defining this well enough, but they have 30 days to comply with that. And if they don't, they have to start all over again. So it's another goddamn Donald Trump disaster. I mean, go figure. The guy who decides to sell beef in the mall somehow, in sharper image stores, where you get the vibrators and the, you know, the tchotchkes and the executive office toys. You know, let's invest in that company.
Yeah.
It's just so goddamn stupid. And then here's Marjorie Taylor Greene ponying up to $50,000 in stock.
Is that her money? Is that like campaign funds? I don't understand.
Well, I don't think she's allowed to invest campaign funds. Otherwise,
legally, she can't. Yeah. That's illegal.
Yeah,
people
but
get
don't be
for
surprised
that.
If she
that's
doesn't.
True.
You know, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I'm sure it's her own money, like an idiot. You know, all these people feel as though it doesn't matter if they get crushed by their own dumbness. It's the performance of it. It's why, like, so many of them don't mind if they get COVID. Or Steve Bannon probably doesn't mind if he goes to jail for a little while. Because guess what? Content. Hello. We can advertise using this content. We can make money with this content. People will love us. People will think we're martyrs for doing this. And so, you know, everything is upside down now. And that brings us to Tucker Carlson.
Oh, God.
And, oh, my God, that one.
And Tucker Carlson has a new special. I think it's a series that he's doing on.
It's three parts, I think.
Yeah. Fox Nation. Now, first of all, since this thing is on Fox Nation, there's a good chance that a lot of the Fox News viewers won't know how to access Fox Nation because it's online only. It's
Is that their streaming service that they're launching with all the entertainment that's supposed to thwart the liberal bias? And
I think maybe. I think it is a streaming service, which still, it's very complicated. It's probably easier for the people who watch Fox News Channel to find something on the internet on a website than it is for them to find it on some sort of streaming service. It's actually kind of complicated to sign up for a new streaming service. First, you got to find it. Then you got to subscribe to it. And that gets a little crazy because it's a matter of putting in your, you know, your username and password and your credit card information, all using your television remote. If you're someone who's not really in the know and doesn't know how to go to the website and sign up that way. But suffice to say, Tucker's new special on Fox Nation is all about the, quote, true story behind 1-6. This is how Joe Biden and the Democrats are persecuting white supremacists in what Tucker is calling War on Terror 2.0. This is an actual thing. This is not an Onion parody. Tucker Carlson is going full Alex Jones. And for those of you who were like, why does Bob always talk about Alex Jones? It was back in the day, like say back in 2015 when Chez and I were really hitting that Alex Jones universe, mostly Dan Badani and Alex Jones himself. It's like, why are you paying attention to these guys? Well, this is why we're paying attention to these guys, because now the Republican Party is the Alex Jones party. Alex Jones's crapola is now what drives Fox News Channel, as evidenced by this. It's called Patriot Purge.
Sounds like a right-wing eating disorder.
Yeah, exactly. The U.S. government has, in fact, launched a new war on terror, but it's not against Al-Qaeda. It's against American citizens. This is Tucker Carlson talking. Nothing like this has ever happened in the history of our country. This is an attack on core civil liberties, and it's essential that you know what's happening and that you can resist it. He's defending white supremacy. Yeah.
That's all he does.
Yeah,
that's his job, is to find ways to bolster whites, disseminate white supremacist and white nationalist talking points.
Yeah, yeah.
And true. Put an acceptable veneer on them, so you know, and just I'm just asking.
I reported the video on Twitter.
Yeah, so did I. So did I.
As inciting violence. Uh-huh. I just was like, you cannot advertise this on Twitter. I'm sorry. And so, and I encouraged everybody, and I don't have the followers that you have, but I encouraged my 20,000 or so followers, please report this.
Yeah, yeah. I reported it for political disinformation. That's how I report.
I went, it's violent. Yeah, I was just like, yeah. It's violent.
Well, because this is all about 1-6 and how this has to do with defending those people as patriots. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is about this. Everyone on who watches Fox News Channel is now about to be convinced, if they haven't been already. Any of the last remaining people were like, yeah, you know what? I'm with Trump, but that insurrection was terrible. Last remaining like elements that, yeah. of that's going away. It's going to be full on, yes, this insurrection was the right thing to do, and we need to do it again and again and again and again. That's
but
the
wait, Antifa did it, and didn't BLM? I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're looking for the contradictions here. They don't care about that. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about owning the libs. It's about just saying whatever they need to say to get these people all tanked up on their own bullshit. And which is successful. It's just something that they're doing. And they don't care if it's contradictory. They don't care if it's hypocritical. We're in the post-hypocrisy era where these guys, whether it's Tucker Carlson or Donald Trump himself, can contradict themselves in the same goddamn sentence.
Yep.
I mean, we've documented how many cases of that have we documented over the years where Donald Trump says one thing at the beginning of the sentence and by the end of the sentence, he's contradicting the thing that he started with. And this is oh my God, it's Antifa, it's FBI infiltrators. Those are the ones who were responsible for the insurrection. Oh, but by the way, the insurrectionists were all patriots and we should defend them. And they're being persecuted by Joe Biden, who hates all of these, you know, white supremacists.
Well, and why did Merrick Garland put those people in there? Wait, what? Because they're literally saying that.
Patriot purge. Again, going back to what I said initially, upside down messaging here. These guys who invaded and occupied the United States Capitol, tried to overthrow Congress in order to overturn the election. These are now patriots in the minds of half of the country.
Patriot purge. Is it like a supplement from Alex Jones? Is it laxative? You know, like it's the way that real men unstop their bowels after, you know, eating so much red meat.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Patreon.
Are you bothered by occasional bouts of irregularity?
Oh, I didn't
Can
know you
do it, Bob?
I didn't think you were setting me up to do the character.
I'm ugly. I stink. I love Satan. I kill my baby.
All right. Yes. So this is coming up, and it's only going to make everything worse. It's only going to, God damn it. I mean, obviously, when there is billions and billions of dollars to be made by these suckers, these fucking man babies with their grievances and their Donald Trump cosplay. If another 9/11 happens, you better believe it's going to be Tucker Carlson on at every 8 o'clock every night saying this is the responsibility of the radical left Democrats. They're in cahoots with this new 9/11, or, you know, it's going to be the same shit that we've seen where they take whatever event comes down the pike. Pandemic. We got a worldwide pandemic here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn this into a political hot potato. So this way, you know, anyone who, you know, wants to do the right thing and make the right sacrifices for our society so we can get back to normal, those people are just political drones and apparatchiks for whatever team they're on. Oh, my God. Patriot purge. Yep. Those insurrectionists, what patriots they were.
Yeah.
Making the big sacrifice for, you know, the guy from The Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
The guy who tried to sell steaks in Sharper Image stores next to the massage chairs.
That's the worst one for you, isn't it? It's just sticking in your craw.
I know. Well, it's so fucking stupid.
Didn't he have vodka, too?
Yeah, Trump vodka. Yes, of course.
But he doesn't drink, so he's... That's weird.
No, he doesn't drink. But he definitely sold steaks in Sharper Image stores. You know, his favorite store.
When it comes to great steaks, I've just raised the steaks. The Sharper Image is one of my favorite stores with fantastic products of all kinds.
Yeah, because I don't know what any of those products are because I've never been in a Sharper Image store. That was a piece of shit. Okay.
It really is just, I mean, it is the eighth wonder of the fucking known world that, like, that clown, that fucking scrotum-faced, orange-haired, ugly suit wearing clown was our president.
Yeah. Well, what's worse is that scrotum faced clown, David, that scrotum faced clown is rapidly destroying democracy. And it's so appropriate given what America has become, the narcissistic, childish culture that we have become to a certain degree. It makes perfect sense that the scary clown man from TV who sold steaks in Sharper Image stores. Makes sense that he'd be the form of the destructor. You know what I mean? It's like the goddamn Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man destroying New York City. Perfect. I mean, if this wasn't something that would steamroll all of us, which it is, I'd be sitting here going, my God, how appropriate is all of this? How, holy shit. Okay, well, today's show is brought to you by the Shadow Docket Bonus Show on our Patreon page. As you know, this show here is almost entirely fueled by our Patreon subscribers. We can do 4+ shows a week without your generous financial support. Where do I get 4+ shows? Well, we do a show on Tuesday, we do a show on Wednesday, we do a show on Thursday, we do a show on Friday, plus we do 2 Shadow Docket shows every week, one after the Tuesday show, one after the Thursday show. So unless I'm getting the math entirely wrong, that's like 6 shows. Am I right on that? Am I counting? Where's my abacus?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So if you dig what you hear on this podcast today, please consider going to bobsescashow.com and signing up for $5 a month. $5 a month is going to get you 2 Shadow Docket bonus shows every Tuesday and Thursday. Again, that's for just $5 per month. Did I mention $5 per month? Yes, it's $5 per month. Pennies per show. We used to call it the Postmortem Show. The Latin was too hard to remember. So with the support of our existing Patreon subscribers, we changed the name to The Shadow Docket. Same show, same exclusive content, but an all new name. Again, that's $5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, $5 per month at BobSescaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSescaShow. And we thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. Gonna come down. When are you going to land? Or should
far should have listened to my old man. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up with you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing the blues.
Wow, wow, wow. This is the great Jesse Terry covering Elton John, right?
Yellow brick road,
yeah. Brand new EP. Debuting right here, right now on this podcast. EP is called 70s Roots. It's a handful of Jesse's favorite songs from the 1970s. Of course, covered in his amazing voice right here. JesseTerryMusic.com, link in the description of BobSeska.com to support Jesse Terry and all of our independent bands. Yeah, awesome. I just love
that. I have that record on vinyl, by the way.
Yes, and the first of two cover songs that we're playing on today's show. We got another one from Blame It on Rebecca coming up here. And brand new Indie Music Countdown, I believe, Sunday? That's Halloween, right? I almost said Christmas. Which,
Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, Halloween is like Christmas.
Yes. Okay. While we're on the topic of disastrous Trump things, here's more bad news for Trump regarding his Twitter lawsuit. A Florida federal judge has ruled that Donald Trump's status as a former president does not exclude him from following Twitter's terms of service. It's the latest setback, according to the Washington Post, in his quest to get back on the social media platform after being banned this year. U.S. District Judge Robert Scola Jr. granted Twitter's motion to transfer the case from the Southern District of Florida to the Northern District of California, which is required by a clause in the company's user agreement that all Twitter users sign. This whole Twitter case is just Donald Trump saying, you know what, these terms of service that I agreed to, they don't apply to me, even though I agreed to them.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, just, pretty much every single other organization on the planet that he has railed at has eventually opened the gates for him. That's the problem. From Deutsche Bank to the U.S. government to the Senate. You know, like, that's the infuriating. And he really just is like, if I just keep screaming, someone will give me what I want.
Yeah, yeah. He wears them down. He, like, buries them in paperwork and forces them to settle for pennies on the dollar, right? So even though he does have to end up paying out money in some of these lawsuits, it's much less than he would have otherwise had to pay. And that's the whole point. That's his whole strategy. Everyone knows what his strategies are. It's kind of obvious. And I'm glad to see some people are like, well, we know exactly what you're doing, so go screw yourself. See, also short-selling his goddamn media company, by the way. The case stems from Twitter permanently suspending Trump shortly after the January 6th insurrection. This is riot. Stop saying riot! God damn it! It was an insurrection. And the more we keep repeating in the press that it's a riot
coup,
it was an attempted coup is exactly what it was. While Trump's attorneys have argued that his status as former president exempts him from Twitter's clause and that it was in the public interest for the case to stay in Florida, I don't know why that is. Scola was unconvinced. In his 13-page ruling, the Miami judge noted that Trump, who lives in Florida, has not advanced any legal authority to support his contention. Meanwhile, the good news also is that the Senate Democrats, have a framework deal for Build Back Better. Finally, this has happened. Have you guys seen the terms of this? This is actually not bad.
It's not bad.
We're talking about $555 billion for the climate crisis. This is a little more than what we were expecting, actually. I think the word was several days ago that it was going to be about 500, but now $555 billion. Child tax credit has been extended by a year, according to this framework. That's another year in which American families will all receive checks from the government based on how many children they have and the ages of those children. This is, again, another. I wonder where child poverty is going to land after another year of this child tax credit. But by the way, it should be called a child tax cut.
It's not technically a cut. It is technically a credit that you're getting monthly versus at the end of the year. So
yeah, well, they ought to frame it as a tax cut, even though it isn't.
Know.
You know,
you
can make a technical distinction here, but ultimately, it's a cut that gets paid in advance, right? Yeah.
Just the whittling down still pisses me off because it just, like, these are millionaires making decisions that will cause children to go hungry, you know, and it just...
This is why we need to give them at least 4 to 6 seats in the Senate in 22 so that we can... Social Security was very limited when it began.
Yeah.
I couldn't get Social Security benefits from my sister when she died until later on. It was a whole... It got better later when we had more people to help vote more good stuff in. Yeah. So once we get this, which is going to be transformative, as much as it could have been better, which it obviously could have been, we knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Taking things out that can be put back in later.
Look, if your idea for negotiation on the Hill is that we should be going for a much larger number. We should start at a higher number so that when the compromise happens, and that's invariably what's going to happen, it's compromise is a uniquely American thing. This is the sort of, this is how the country was built. It's sometimes frustrating and ugly and messy, but that's part of the strategy. You start at a higher number and you whittle it down to a lesser number. But when that happens, you got to be satisfied with a lesser number. Otherwise, why even promote that strategy? And this brings us to Cenk Uygur, who I remember, and there's a whole, he's starting already. And
where's the plane?
Where's the plane?
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't I have that loaded up? That's shame on me. His opinion on the process for passing the Affordable Care Act was that we should have started with single payer so that when it got whittled down, it would kind of land generally where it did, or we would have something that was a little bit better than what the Affordable Care Act ended up being. But based on this, based on his reaction to this exact, the process that he was pushing for on the Affordable Care Act, based on that exact strategy applied to Build Back Better, he would have been entirely dissatisfied with whatever the lesser number was, whatever the sub single payer legislation ended up being, because that's how he's acting. And that's obviously being reflected by most of the progressives on podcasts and social media, et cetera. It's like, not good enough. We need to kill this bill. I mean, Cenk is now actively promoting for progressives in Congress to vote against this legislation, effectively killing it. And $550 billion for the climate. Universal pre-K, kill it. Child care funding, kill it. Expanded ACA subsidies, including Medicaid in red states, kill it. That's what Cenk Uygur wants to do.
Yep.
Because it was a number that started at 3.5 and is now at 1.7. And following in accordance with the exact strategy that Cenk wanted in the first place. And that's how they engaged in this thing. But now, no, not good enough. So whatever you do, it's a lose-lose in the minds of certain progressives. I'm not saying all progressives, but certain progressives. You just can't win. Why?
You know, and but they understand that that's, you know, that's what butters their bread.
Yeah, that's the shame of it.
Being
yeah.
in the wrong lane.
Yeah,
perpetually, like, there's always going to be a segment of progressives that are perennially dissatisfied. And I number myself among progressives. I am a progressive.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's
yeah,
people like Glenn Greenwald, who is no longer a progressive, you know, but thinks he is one. And he's learned that, like, if you, by consistently flying 180 degrees against whatever happens – keeps him netting a certain percentage of the progressive audience.
That's right. Again, it's like what we were saying about Tucker Carlson.
Keeps him in Brazilian Hustlers and, you know,
yeah,
gourmet dog food.
He's more interested in his brand than he is about what the right thing to do happens to be. And this is, the, you know, look, it's not the $3.5 trillion, but $1.7 trillion is nothing to sneeze at. Jesus Christ, the stimulus in 2009 at the end of the Great Recession, it was like $800 billion. We're talking about $1.75 trillion. It is unprecedented.
It is still tiny next to what we spent on tanks and bombs.
Yeah, well.
You know, and we're even falling behind in that.
I mean, if we want that to change, what we have to do is, you know, win more elections. This is about as simple as it gets. Cenk tweeted, among other things, he said, there is nothing left for progressives in the reconciliation bill. If progressives in Congress vote yes and then do bullshit cheerleading for the corporate Democratic Party, this is where I go, they will be met with a wall of skepticism and disdain. This bill is now trash. Vote no, he said.
A wall of skepticism and disdain. Lord knows people should be afraid to walk into that like our freaking granddads walked into the, you know, German bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, your disdain, I fear it. Oh, yogurt. I shall fart in your general direction.
Schooley tweeted about all of this. He said, sure would be a nice break from the Mansion and Cinema show if some press would ask Collins and Murkowski their take on stuff like family leave and vision and dental for seniors.
Yeah.
Republicans get to be against popular legislation without any heat whatsoever. That's exactly right. Ian Millhiser from Vox, not Fox, Vox, tweeted this. He said, I'm angry the Build Back Better Act is getting pared back. But in the alternative universe where a Republican holds Manchin's seat, we're in week three of a government shutdown and Ted Cruz vows to filibuster the bill, reopening the government until Biden agrees to slash Medicaid. Yep, that's about right. I think that's about where we would be, don't you think?
Yep, sounds, yeah, all that checks out.
Look, it's like, oh my God. You know, we didn't deliver a broad enough majority in the United States Senate, and then we sit back and go, why don't they do anything? Yep. Why, Democrats, why? You know, look, garbage in, garbage out. It's the fucking George Carlin bit from his stand-up. You know, we get selfish, ignorant politicians because we're selfish, ignorant people. Garbage in, garbage out. That's exactly what George Carlin said. And if we wanted all of this transformative legislation that, by the way, the House Democrats have passed.
Yes.
If we wanted this stuff to become law, maybe we should have worked a little harder. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people work their asses off. Make no mistake. A lot of people worked very, very hard and went through a lot of stress to make sure Joe Biden got elected last year. It didn't have to be this way. Manchin and Sinema didn't have to have the power that they're wielding right now.
No.
And needless to say, you know, back during bringing up the Affordable Care Act again, going back to that thing, when that debate was occurring, we had between 59 and 60 senators.
Yep.
And still you had guys like Joe Lieberman and Max Baucus. Baucus and I think it was Bill Nelson or Bob Nelson.
No,
Bill,
I think you're right with Bill.
From Florida?
The Nelson from Nebraska.
That's isn't Democrat that Bill? Nelson. No, then it's Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was
whatever.
Bob. Well, one of the various Nelsons was being a pain in
Pick
the ass.
Pick a Nelson.
Yeah.
Not one of the twins. Not Tracy.
Yeah.
Not Ozzie or Harriet.
Not Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons. No, no.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No.
Or Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, yeah. Nelson. It was the Nelson with the big Fred Flintstone head. You know,
there you go.
Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene has the Barney Rubble feet. Well, this Nelson, who's no longer in the Senate anymore, had like a big Fred Flintstone head.
We have to remember that FDR and LBJ had huge supermajorities in both the House and the Senate compared to Joe Biden's minimal majority in the House and an equal Senate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The fact that this is going to happen is extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah. The way we can fix this is a little more than a year from now. We can deliver a bigger majority for the Senate. The map is still
what we need to do. Yes.
Somewhat favorable for the Democrats, just in overall broad terms. And it's possible. It's possible to do it. We just have to want it badly enough. And I get the sense sometimes that when Democrats don't get exactly what they want, they're like, oh, fuck it. I'm going home.
Stop whining.
Moving along here. Right. You know what? We're going to take a short break here in a second. I want to talk about these people who are acting out on airplanes. There's a new incident that has occurred.
Oh, this and poor flight attendant. God bless her.
Yeah, and the solution for it, please, more like this. And we've seen it once before, but I hope this now becomes a thing for these man babies. The way they restrained this fucking man baby who refused to wear a mask on this flight. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy.
Oh!
She wants you so badly, knows what she wants to be. Inside her, there's longing. This girl's an open page, bookmarking. She's so close now, this girl is half your age. Don't stand.
Oh, man.
Don't stand so close to me.
Wow, this is a really, like, smart rethinking of this song.
It really is. I love it when they cover songs and make it into a whole new thing, but it's still familiar enough to understand what it is. Oh, man. This is Blame It on Rebecca, 2 K's in Rebecca in there. And, of course, covering The Police and shaking my brain right now. My brain feels sufficiently rattled. This is, by the way, from Blame It on Rebecca's Again album. Blame It on Rebecca.bandcamp.com. Link in the description, of course. Oh, yeah. So good. Okay. Moving along here with our Thursday show. Thanks again for joining us. Where were we? What were we going to talk about? Oh, yes, yes, yes. More duct tape for man babies, please.
Yay! Yeah.
Thank you.
So I don't know this story yet.
Yeah, oh, well, man. This guy on a flight from New York's JFK to John Wayne Airport had to divert to Denver after a flight attendant was attacked by a man baby passenger.
He broke her nose.
Broke her nose.
Jesus
bloodied
Christ.
Her fucking nose. Female flight attendant, of course. And this is a guy, an entitled guy.
And it was in first class, too. He was a first class passenger.
That's right.
Those guys are the worst.
Yep.
And they all look alike. They're like big. They're all bald. They all look like thumbs. And they all have the noise blocking Bose headphones.
Of course. Of course.
And they all like power up to the front of the line so they can get on the plane first and order drinks or whatever. But like, it's like, dude, no one's going to take that seat away from you.
So you know what they did? They duct taped him to his seat.
Yay!
They used duct tape to tape him down. You know what? This is what you do. I mean, you don't do this with a child. I'm aware of something they have in hospitals where they put children in what they call a papoose, where it's like they got Velcro straps. It's like a papoose. It's like, I don't know how else to describe a papoose. It's like a thing that restrains you and turns
it's
you
a
into
a baby burrito.
Yeah, it's like a burrito. Yeah, exactly right, David.
Well, I think kids are like not independently mobile when they're young enough to be put into one of those things.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not like you take a 3-year-old and wrap him up in blankets. That's like a mental institution from the 1920s kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but when it comes to these guys, it comes to these shirkers who refuse to wear fucking masks and they're endangering a flight. You know, this happened over Ohio. They started out in New York, as I said, JFK. And by the time they got over to Ohio, this passenger started assaulting the flight attendant. And so they duct tape him. So this guy was duct taped to his seat from Ohio to when they landed in Denver.
I think I need to become a flight attendant. Because I can throw a fucking punch. You know, like, because I don't know. It just. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just under the height requirement. Like, Bob, I don't think that you could be a flight attendant because of your height. Because like,
no way. No.
I think, no, seriously, beyond a certain point, like, I think you become, like, it's harder in a safety situation for you to get through the plane.
Yeah, yeah. I also have claustrophobia, so I
be an astronaut,
wouldn't be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She actually suffered broken bones to her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she broke her nose, and it says bones plural in this report.
It could have been her orbital bone, too, right under her eye.
Yeah, yeah. FAA is investigating, of course, along with the FBI. So duct taping these assholes to their seat, plus federal criminal charges, perfect solution for this. This is absolutely what they're asking for and what they deserve. I mean, my God, what kind of fucking society have we become? Where this is going on in public on a regular basis. I can't help but to think that for 4 years, we had a president who actually encouraged this kind of acting out,
yeah.
made it okay to act like a dickhead in public. So now, because the president has established this as a precedent, now people feel like, well, the president acts this way, so why can't I? Why are you doing this to me? Why is the man coming down on me and making me sacrifice for society? You know, all of these man babies, if they had been around in 1941, yep. oh my God.
Yep.
Oh my God.
No, they're too much of a princess to put a fucking piece of paper over their mouth and
yeah.
nose
yeah.
for however many hours it takes to be on this flight. Mm-hmm. But they think that they could win a civil war. Like, we're going to just stand there and let them kill us.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. especially on a goddamn airplane. Where who knows, someone who's behaving that erratically, who knows what they're going to do next? Uh-huh. What, are they going to throw open the door or something like that?
Okay, here's the thing that you should know.
Yeah, what?
Those doors are impossible to open at altitude.
The
pressure on the outside of the plane is so
Talk
intense.
Talk to D.B. Cooper.
Well, that was the 70s, and it was a prop plane, and it was at a much lower altitude than most jets.
Yeah.
When jets are pressurized, you cannot open that door. It would yeah. take superhuman strength to open that door or a
okay.
bomb.
Well, I take back the door part, but there's lots of other shit that they could yeah. do on a flight to completely fuck over everyone on that flight.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what they've brought with them? Who knows what they've managed to smuggle through security? I mean, all the rest of it. It's you're in a giant tube at 35,000 feet, and this guy mm-hmm. starts acting like a nut because he has to do what everyone in society should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. God damn it. The only way we got rid of polio is because everyone made the fucking sacrifice to get rid of yep. polio. It's yep. not just the vaccine being invented. It's the fact that everyone got the vaccine
mm-hmm.
because we acted as a society and we understood mm-hmm. that what happens to one person affects the society around that one person.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sick and tired of the anti-vaxxer, anti-maskers. It's like, it's one or the other, kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
And either you don't get vaccinated and you mask up till the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get vaccinated, and then we get 85-90% of us fully vaccinated, and then we get back to normal, motherfucker, pieces of shit. I fucking hate them. You don't have a right to fly. You don't have a right to go to a restaurant. You don't have a right to go to a concert. And you don't, unfortunately, have a right to a job.
That's right.
If you are lucky to be able to participate in any of the things I've named, then you need to follow the rules.
That's right.
Which means... do you argue with your boss if you, say, have to wear a uniform mm-hmm. to work?
Mm-hmm.
No, which means mask is part of the uniform, even if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, that job now requires a vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be vaccinated? You don't get the fucking job.
That's
you
right.
don't have the right degree? You don't get the fucking job. You don't have the right any experience? You don't get the fucking job. Fuck you, fuckity fuck fuckers.
Yes. God, I couldn't agree more.
I love
more.
Spicy Jody. I just
F
get
you.
Chills. It's just, it's like, brava, brava.
F yeah. you. Well, I just, it's just like, you know, if you want to be in polite society, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just got my booster the other day. I'm so jazzed. I'll be fully, triply vaccinated in a couple of weeks. And I couldn't be happier that it was available to me.
Yeah.
And hopefully by December, it will be available to at least people 50 and over.
I had kind of a surge of elation after I had gotten it because I had been so scared for weeks because people yeah. around me at one of my jobs were getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
God, I mean, I've been lucky. You know, I'm not around a lot of people. And when I am, I'm double masked.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I know people are vaccinated and it's different. But. Yep. It's just, I don't want to get it and give it to somebody. That's my thing. It's like, I can still yeah. get it and maybe not be sick, but if I have enough viral load, I might be able to give it to somebody else, like a Colin Powell, thank you very much, who can't, you know, defend it because of his underlying conditions, even though he was vaccinated. It's
yeah.
like, I don't want to give it to my neighbor's kids who can't get vaccinated for the next couple of weeks, you know? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I like my neighbor's kids.
Well, you know, this also speaks
not enough to give them edibles, though, for God's sake.
Well, there's
that thing.
Different.
There's the whole thing going around right now that's like, you know, what, check your kids' candy for cannabis candy. And like,
oh, I saw that.
Oh, honey. Yeah.
Y'all,
oh,
those are too fucking expensive to go wasting them randomly on the neighbor's kids.
First off, too expensive. And didn't we have the whole razor blade in the apple when we were kids?
Yeah, that's the new, it's just replacing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this all speaks to a broader issue to me, which is, there's a certain segment of, you know, American citizens who are going fucking nuts. They're losing their spadoinkle all over the place. And this is why it makes it imperative that the rest of us, the normals, act in a rational, societal, reasonable way. And that doesn't mean not fighting. Obviously, we fight for what we want. But at the same time, we base that fight on rational arguments, on a reasonable interpretation of the law and of how government works and how American society functions, how democracy functions. It's so important that we maintain some sort of tethering to these ideals, to these values, because the Republicans right now are completely off in la-la land, believing fiction, believing that Tucker Carlson's Patriot Purge is happening, that it's somehow wrong to attack white supremacists. That's some sort of next level madness. Like, don't you come after the white supremacists. You come after the white supremacists and we're all going to be next. It's going to be a next. It's going to be another Holocaust here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Once you start going after, you know, the racists,
the people who want to have the Holocaust.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't emphasize this enough. This is why we need to examine politics in the most rational way. We need to understand real politics. We need to understand how this stuff functions, because these blanket condemnations of all Democrats or complete misreading of the terms of the debate it's only going to backfire. It's only going to make this shit worse. We don't want to become them. You know, there was a period of time, there was a school of thought, I'm sure, David, you remember this, back in Blogosphere 1.0, where there was a school of thought that was like, you know what, we got to fight on the same term. We got to fight fire the same way Republicans do.
And that's what I said.
Yeah.
Never defend, never explain, attack, yeah. Attack, attack.
But now the way the Republican Party has positioned itself, it's a different ballgame. If we start acting like the Red Hats, this whole America thing is done. Okay. Is done. Put a fork in it. It's over. So we should not.
See, what I find just completely exhausting is the fact that it's like the lion is still in the cage and we're still having to use the whip in the chair to keep it from devouring everything, you know. And it's exhausting.
It is exhausting. But, yeah, yeah. But that's, I mean, look, it's, no one ever said democracy was easy. No one ever said that a republic across a large landmass would be the simplest thing to maintain. It takes work. It takes work to do this. We all have to participate. And that's the whole point of democracy. It's the people rule. And so it's an ongoing battle. It's not something that you get to a finish line and like, I guess I'm done with democracy. I guess we did it. We got this guy, Joe Biden, or we got Barack Obama or whoever elected. So I guess I'm done. No, it's an ongoing process.
They've made it so hard for the average American citizen to find the energy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
To be an activist, write letters to the Senate and the House, and to make calls and march and demonstrate, because you're fucking tired.
Well, here's the thing, and this is something we talked about with David Pepper yesterday on the interview show, which is I believe that our priorities are a little bit lopsided in terms of how we participate in democracy. There's way too much punditry going on. And I say this as a pundit who hosts a podcast. I think what we're doing is we're too focused on the social media screaming matches and not enough focused on things like, you know, maybe splitting our time between shouting on Twitter and registering voters for Indivisible. I think what we need to do is spend a little more time on action, and the action actually becomes much more satisfying than screaming at people in the comments on your Facebook page. And maybe the balance is off along those lines. And there just needs to be less of the shovel fighting and more of the, you know, going out, registering voters, making sure there's, you know, we're harnessing this liberal culture that we live in. that is being quickly overtaken by minority rule through rigging the game, through election laws and voter suppression and all the rest of it. Lies 24/7.
Disinformation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You cannot ever, I mean, to me, like Fox News and right wing radio is like the fucking Deepwater oil, you know, Deepwater Horizon oil spill. It's pumping out millions of gallons of toxic sludge every minute we're alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, look, one of the examples that I can bring up in all of this in terms of remaining as rational as possible is this tweet by Casey Hunt. I think she's still on MSNBC. Yeah. She did a show called KCDC. She tweeted today, "If paid leave is left out of this bill, I'm going to spend the midterms covering how suburban women who turned on the GOP over Trump are responding to Democratic governing in D.C., especially after the pandemic."
She can just shut the fuck up.
She's not at MSNBC anymore, actually.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think
she's like a little baby Chuck Todd.
Yeah.
You know, like.
She can talk to Republicans who unanimously are voting against it. So fuck her.
Yeah, this is pandering to low information voters. This is pandering to the notion that because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, and by the way, all of the Republicans on the Hill.
Thank you.
Are opposed to all of these things, then therefore we have to punish all Democrats next year in the midterms, which then metastasizes the fucking idiocratic fascism. That's nuts. That's the kind of irrationality that I'm talking about. We need to be specific. The stakes are too high to be fucking around with the old political scripts, the old kind of punditry, as if we're in the 1990s and if things go awry with an election, we end up with President Bob Dole. Oh, heaven forbid that we fucking... No, I mean, that was...
Stakes are high, but are they Trump stakes? From Sharper Image.
I just...
That's why I'm thrilled they agree with me. When it comes to great stakes, I just raise the stakes.
You did walk into that one.
On that note, thank you, David. That's perfect. That was perfect. Okay, coming up on
which brings us full circle. And what have we learned at the end of the day? I think in the end, Infrastructure Week was the friends we made along the way.
You know what? We need to do that at the end of every Thursday show. You need to do like, and now my final thought. You need to do like a Jerry Springer summation, David. We got to get you to do that. Like, what have we learned today on today's show?
I learned something today.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about Strangers with Candy is they would do that all the time and it would always be the exact wrong 100. I just love Amy Sedaris.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you follow Amy Sedaris on Instagram? If you don't, you have to. She's got the greatest Instagram. Talk about an Instagram feed where you could go down that rabbit hole and suddenly it's 5 hours later and you're like, where did the time? Oh, my God. I went through a warp in the space-time continuum. What's going on here? Because it's so awesome and weird. She's got all these weird videos on there. They're not disturbing. They're just weird. Appropriately enough for Amy Sedaris. You know, the Mandalorian's Amy Sedaris. Okay, so coming up on the Shadow Docket Show, more weirdness, because, you know, I know weird. We're going to talk about Dr. Birx and her reaction now after the fact, after being involved in the Trump White House during COVID. Going to talk about that. Plus, let's see what else here. Holy shit. I've got good news and bad news about the NRA. Something happened to the NRA. That on the surface seems like good news. Under the surface is not so good news. It's a shame because what actually happened to the NRA was entertaining to see initially. And then I was like reading down the article and I was just like, oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. It's not good for anybody. So we got to.
I want them penned and then hunted for sport in Africa.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Kyle Rittenhouse, this ridiculous judge in Wisconsin, and what he's declared as part of this trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. Awful. Well, all that and more is coming up on the Shadow Docket podcast on our Patreon page. As soon as this music is done playing, we keep on talking. You're missing out. If you're not subscribed for $5 a month, you're missing out on a whole other third of the show. You get two-thirds of the show for free, and the other third, you got to pay $5 a month to get. And that's on our Patreon page, bobseskashow.com. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.